Hey guys, welcome to the Penthouse 5 episode 3 podcast. If you're watching on YouTube, what's up? And if you're listening to the podcast, then what's up? Anyway, we're here with Francesca, our new female singer.
Hello.
How you doing?
Good.
Awesome.
Good. All good vibes over here.
Awesome. Yeah, sweet. It's
you good can, to have you with can us. Hear the enthusiasm in her voice. She's just
what time is it? It's like
ready to go.
10 o'clock.
It's 10 o'clock, and we've already had like a rehearsal, and then we watched our first, you know, the promo for our
promo.
The new dance medley with Meg.
Yeah, good things. All right, so I want to start this thing off anyway, because we always like introduce it a little bit and then we get into a topic. I don't know what we're talking about. But yeah, I wanted to go around and just like say a little thing that, like, you know, in our life at the moment, like we chucked in like food we're eating or something different. I'll go first just to show you an example. So I've just started doing cold showers. And I've only been doing it for like about 2 weeks and stuff. And yeah, that's pretty much just my thing. Like, I've just been doing new and it's just like completely, yeah.
And it was off, what's the name of the guy again? For people that...
So Wim Hof is the guy that's like called the Iceman. Did you watch that video?
Yeah, it was like too long.
What does he do? What is he?
I've seen him on TV before a while ago. Yeah. I've seen it on Dr. G. Cotton. You can explain.
Well, he's called the Iceman. He's known originally for like basically being able to survive like crazy freezing temperatures.
He was in Batman and Robin.
That's Mr. Freeze. That's jokes, though.
Yeah. Well done on that one.
I'm going to kick some ice.
Yeah, he's just known for like freezing cold temperatures and being able to withstand it for like long amount of time.
Yeah. He'll like, go up ridiculous. And walk up a mountain in the like middle of
and like naked or something.
With just shorts. Or something.
Yeah, just basically with shorts and sandals. I'll send you a link to what I sent these guys the episode. It's real, real cool. But yeah, I just started doing like the cold showers and stuff, and that's pretty much it. Like, I enjoy it, and I don't at the same time. But it's
And what are you going to carry on with it?
Like, I'm going to carry on with it. Yeah. It's all about the mind, the mental
the
strength.
Mindset.
Just imagine.
I hate it. Like,
you know what? Cold. I don't know if you ever jumped into like cold, like water or anything like a lake or something.
Yeah.
But like the cold.
When you go to the sea or something.
Yeah. It winds you. It like takes your breath, and you're just like.
Yeah,
it's proper.
I've just got the image of you and your girlfriend, like your girlfriend going, "Oh, should we go into the shower? And have a bit of
Let's do this." Anyway, that's me. So, anyone else got some food you've been eating, or like,
I work in central London, so I've got 40-minute commute on the tube there and back every morning. So my girlfriend reads like a demon. She tears through books. Like she read about almost 50 books last year, and that was just from April. Like she just tears through really, really fast, and so it inspired me to read, because it kind of hit me, I think, just because I'm always asking her about, you know, what are you reading and what's
letters,
the like
numbers, and how you put them together.
I think because I got into a rhythm on the tube where I watch my Netflix shows and I watch an episode, and then I just kind of thought, I should be more productive with this time I've got. You know, an hour and a half in my day getting to and from work. I'm just sitting there. There's so many things I could be doing or reading or learning. So from the start of the year, I started combining it with reading and just helping using like these little apps I've got for sight reading. But I'm on my second book. No, I'm on my third book now. It's the first Jack Reacher book by Lee Child called Killing Floor. And it's really, really good. It's a really good book. Like, if you're into your kind of thriller, murder mystery kind of thing, it's an awesome read, because it's so fast paced and you're just tense reading it. It's just really on the edge of your seat reading a book. So I'm loving that at the minute. That's really cool.
Reading, Mike.
That's what made me sound really cool.
Ice cold showers. What are you doing, bro? And Steve's trashing the place.
Smashing up.
Go, Steve. What's yours?
I've been doing intermittent fasting.
Yeah,
sometimes it's good, sometimes it's pretty hard, especially when you go out and everyone's eating late and you can't, because
you're out the window.
Yeah, but then you can't go too early, you can't go too late because then you can't eat too late, you can't go too early because then you can't eat too late. Yeah, but it's pretty hard. I've been doing the 18-6, but yeah, I've got this app called Zero. It's pretty good. It's like a massive timer, and it keeps track of all your fasts and it's good. But yeah, I've lost.
How yeah, much
I've
lost, you like, lost? Yeah.
This year so far.
How much?
Like a stone.
A stone?
Yeah. I put on some weight this week, but. Yeah,
do you find like when you do have your first, when you do actually come to eat, are you like ravenous and eating everything, or are you still quite controlled even in the window?
Yeah, still quite controlled, but then you start to think, oh, you know, I can eat whatever, cause, and then I'll stop at 8, and then sometimes you eat like over your calories, you have like a big meal, and you're like, oh, you know, I'm fasting, but then, I don't know, it just kind of works backwards. But yeah, I've been doing all right. It's, because I'm normally the first thing I eat is Weetabix at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. So,
do you feel it's has it made you not want to eat as much food? Like your appetite?
You're definitely your stomach's obviously shrinking as well. And then, on top of that, just like I said, it's mental things, it's just training. And I have mine on the counter, and it gives me like an hour until. It's normally other.
You ever sneak it in, like it's like 30 minutes left, and you're like,
Yeah,
you're busy. Warm me up.
A few times I've missed it as well, and just, just been like, fuck it, I can't do it now. Because the only time I'm going to get to eat in the day is now, so.
Yeah, it's, I guess it's not like every single
day.
No,
if you had like a regular 9-to-5 job, you could do it for like
routine
a month
and stuff,
flat, no problem.
But being a musician, late
it's
nights and all that sort of stuff.
Like I said, I eat at 2, it's supposed to be when I start. But with my other gig, I loadings at 2. So like it pushes it to like 3:30.
Yeah, I've got to.
Sorry,
I got that heavy thing.
But yeah, that's what I've been doing. Drinking loads more water.
Francesca?
Mine's something quite little, but I feel like it has made a difference. And it's simply like when I've got an alarm and I've set it for a certain point in the morning, it's just like just not allowing that snooze. Because like someone told me, like, it's like your first not your first defeat, but it's almost like your first victory on your day. You've like, right, I've set my alarm for 6 o'clock to go to the gym, and I've got up at 6, and I've like beat my mental state of mind of being like, let's just do another 10 minutes in bed, which always make me feel absolutely terrible when I get up anyway. You really feel bad. Like once you've done that half an hour of pushing it a few times, by the time you get up and you're half an hour out, or you're like, oh, I'm not going to go to the gym then, I've got up too late, or I'm not going to go for that run. Everything, you've kind of defeated yourself like 2 or 3 times, and I was getting into the habit of that before Christmas. Wait,
can I ask you a question? Where did you put your phone?
I was just about to ask that.
I put it next to my bed. Yeah. They say you should do it away.
I sleep there, and I put my phone over here, so you have to get up to turn it off, and by the time you're up,
you're out
of bed.
To add to that, what I read, I have the phone on the other side of my bed, and I read a thing that really helped me that I've probably started doing only in the last maybe 2 months. But so obviously you have to get out of bed to turn the phone off, but as soon as you turn the alarm off, leave the room straight away and go straight into the toilet, whether you need to go for a wee or sort of wash your face or whatever. If you leave the room straight away, once you turn the light on in the bathroom, you splash your face, you're awake now. You're not going to go back to bed. And that's been perfect for me. That works every time.
That's a good tip. I might do that now, because I've already kind of been like getting up, and I prepare all like my gym clothes and everything in the second bedroom, so I have to kind of get up and go there to get dressed in that anyway. But
see, I'm fine getting up. I don't have a problem. But I have to.
What time do you get
up by? I'm
11.
I'm pretty sure I see you on WhatsApp every morning. You're on like 12.
Yeah, because they want to message you in the morning.
That's rude, John.
Yeah, I don't know. Naturally wake up about 8:30, but if I needed to, like,
see, I'm waking up at 5:30.
Yeah,
because I got to drop Kerry off because she doesn't drive yet.
No, I think as well with the waking up thing, it really helps me. Is when you go to bed at the same time and you wake up at the same time.
I know.
And your body, you end up not needing an alarm because your body is like
it will
now
naturally
in a
wake up.
Rhythm.
And I find that like I get up at 6 most mornings, and I find that on a Saturday Sunday when I finally can have a lie in, my body just wakes up early anyway.
That's exactly same for me. When I get those days off, it's
you're like, come on.
But that's good though.
I get that. I wake up the time I do wake up, and then I go, it's Saturday, and I stay in bed.
Yeah.
I do like my sleep.
Nice. All right, so where are we going with the conversation? What are we going to talk about then?
Well,
provide some value for these people.
Some value. Gary V, if he's listening.
Gary V. Hashtag Gary V.
What about like, if you've had any like motivational or
musicians?
No, just like in life, like if people have heard about like, or any sort of motivational stuff, just dealing with anything, dealing with career choices, happiness.
I'm never really I don't need to be told how to do it. I've just always just sort of done it.
Mm.
I've been like, well, no one else is going to do it for me. I think that's pretty obvious. Mm-hmm. But then there's so much motivational stuff out there.
Mm. Like last episode, you used the content on Instagram that you used to get like a bit fired up, inspired and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you need like, I'll go 3 weeks without posting anything, just be like, oh, I can't be bothered.
Mm.
But then, you know, if I need to do something, I'll get it done. But yeah, definitely finding inspiration is tough, but I've never really been a... Because some people, you see them and they're constantly reposting stuff like, you can reach for the stars.
Mm. Yeah.
You're the sun.
Yeah,
good one.
Just
basic stuff. Mm. Like I got taught as a kid, just like, you know, if you want something, work hard for it.
That's good. That's great that you've got that intrinsic
value. So many people don't they?
Yeah. Because for a lot of people, really struggle to get out of bed every morning, or to, you know, they'll procrastinate with their work.
Like everyone, I have times where I can't be bothered.
Yeah.
But I don't ever need to be like, oh yeah, I need to get on and see what.
Yeah. One thing. Yeah.
It's making
it. A thing I found recently. I don't know if it's motivation, but it just kind of gives me a little bit of a lift. If I've got like a spare 2 minutes or something, I'm on Reddit all the time, and there's a subreddit called the TIL, which means Today I Learned. Mm-hmm. And so they just put loads of really interesting like random facts, and they're usually really kind of cool, interesting or uplifting facts, or like really like amazing feats, or just interesting things about something that someone did.
Mm-hmm.
And if I've just got like a spare 30 seconds, sometimes when that pops up in my Reddit feed, that's always like a little bit of a lift for my day. It just kind of puts me in a good frame of mind if I read something and go, oh, that's amazing. This person did something 200 years ago, and it's like, you know,
perspective.
Yeah. That's it's just a tiny little thing, but that's like a cool little kicker for me.
How about you?
For me, I find like I need to be motivated sometimes to just like appreciate process. So like if I have a goal or I have something that I want, I will want things directly and straight away, and I'll get frustrated when they don't come right away.
100%.
Do you know what I mean? Like whether it's the success of something, or it's something to do with my career, or for example, we know that I've got a performing arts school, getting the amount of alumni and pupils in, if I'm not at a certain target, I get really annoyed and I wonder why kids aren't flocking to us, kind of thing. And it's just appreciating like process that these things can take time, as long as it's moving in the right direction. Like the little steps are all little victories in themselves. So for me, it's like things like that, like just learning to appreciate the process to get towards a goal. They're just as beautiful.
But at the end of the day, it's like it is all about the process. It should be
it's the journey,
because it's the journey, because when you get to the end, that's the finish. It's done. Like, what happens then? But it's all about, like, you know, process. Same with us when we started this band, we didn't realize how long it would take, you know,
before things picked up.
And it's still picking up, and it's still a continuation of like always pushing. And the thing is, like, when, you know, if we ever get to the, you know, when you ever get to that point where you want to reach it, by that point, I mean, for me personally, it's like my goals will change probably before I get there. You know, we might hit 49 gigs a year or something, and then it's like,
let's push for 75.
Yeah, by that point, I'm like, I want to get bigger than that. I want to get more.
I'm done.
I'm quitting all the time. Sorry, we got depth, bro. Multiple.
I just called John up and just say, John, I quit the band.
Yeah, whilst he's outside my house.
One day, actually, I'm going to quit. No, I'll never quit this band.
No, man, we're pretty good. What are you talking about?
It's band, really, man.
I don't care, you know.
Yeah.
No one's quitting the band. It's just, that's, you know, positive.
You know. But yeah. So, yeah. Totally about the journey.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with that. Definitely. That's what it's all about.
Mm. Yeah.
You were mentioned to me, I don't know if it was today or yesterday, interesting, just like providing a bit of help for people, maybe because we did, you know, the last episode we did was about
music students,
kids going to university, that kind of thing, and you were saying like, what are the kind of questions that you want to ask a band if you're getting married. If you're a bride or a groom and you're looking to book a band, or maybe you've booked them but you know you have no idea about, you know, bands for a venue and how many people there are and what equipment it is and all that kind of stuff. So that would be quite a useful thing if I don't know if you guys chipped in with.
My first one would be understand, and this isn't a dig, but understand that if you hire a band and you have five musicians on stage making noise, it's going to be loud.
Yeah.
Bands are not DJs. You cannot.
Mm. Yeah.
You cannot expect.
You can only turn down the drum kit so much if it's a live band.
And then be like, "Yeah, guys, it's too loud." You can.
But yeah, but nine times out of ten, it's the venue, isn't it? It's the venue that like are more like that rather than the bride and groom. Like they don't care. They've hired like the band.
Yeah.
And it's whether the band can.
And they're
adapt.
The ones that are actually probably drinking and getting drunk and probably don't mind the volume so much.
Yeah, exactly.
Could just be them. But totally. Yeah.
Like, well, sure, we've had to deal with times where we've played in a venue and there's been like a sound limiter, which affects the electrics, and that can be a bit of a nightmare. Mm. Like there's one in the hotel that we did, and I think they gave us the wrong number.
He said 90 dB.
Ridiculous number. Yeah,
and we said to him like, that's people talking. It's 90 dB. But maybe that's one for venues then more than bride and groom. Just because a lot of people want to,
but it could be for bride and groom as well. Just make sure the band can adapt, isn't it?
And something to check with the venue that you're hiring. If you've already got a space that you've booked out, you know, double check that before you book a band. Mm.
And the band, if they're professional enough, should or like you should be. You being the client, the bride and the groom or whatever, you should be putting the band in contact with the venue, like an email or something like that, and then it's up to the band if they're professional enough to contact that venue and be like, what's the sound limiter, like is there one or whatever, like, you know, asking the venue to just, because they'll know what to ask, isn't it?
That's a very good point. We should be putting it more on the guys that know what they're doing to do that instead of the client.
It's also like matching expectations of a bride and groom on what kind of band they want, but also matching their expectations with the budget that they're willing to actually give for a band.
100%.
Yeah, it's
that's a deep conversation. I know.
Appreciating that you've got like five or six people that do this as a profession and this is their job and that's what they've given up their evening to come and work. And you know, offering
their life.
They've given up so much more, like even just the travel. And then like when you offer like, I don't know, 1,000 or you know, talking budgets for like an entire band. For the whole band. I'll take a thousand myself. Yeah.
That's fine.
When people are offering like £500 for a band.
Yeah. When you've got six like, people there.
Yeah.
Then with travel.
I think part of the issue, part of the problem, I think for people that have no idea or background in music, I think, you know, you see like a pokey little band in a pub playing the standard tunes, and you kind of look at them and think, it's just like a hobby. They're just doing it because they want to have a bit of fun. And I think that mindset gets translated to all bands. Mm. Like, they're just playing music and it's just a bit of fun. And you don't...
I think it's a minority. Like, I think it's a smaller percentage because the majority of people we deal with have been massive like music fans, right? Mm. Like, especially the couple in France, they were massive on what the genres we played, like, do you know what I mean? Like, they had total respect for us as musicians and stuff like that. But there are people out there, 100%.
I think for people that haven't really booked bands before, I think that can be an issue. I think there's you know, when we did the thread, I suppose we can do it in another video where you talk about it properly, but the common thing that a musician will say, because you've heard it a million times, is if you compare musicians in a band to that of like a plumber, like if you're hiring a plumber to do a job, you know, he's gone to school, he's learnt his craft, he's spent time, you know, years learning it, and then getting a good reputation to be good enough that you found him. And then if you bring him in, you're not going to be like, yeah, can you do it for £50? He's a professional and he's got his qualifications and these are the rates.
Musicians are like corgi registered, you know, when like you can't get someone to come and change your gas pipes and stuff around unless they've got a corgi register, which takes them more time and more money to earn. So if you couldn't hire musicians without all those musicians having a certain certificate, then you would actually have to, you know, pay more for them to get them to your wedding because they've got that certain certificate. It should be the same way, like,
That's a very good point.
Yeah.
Band are good enough that they can come up and just get a whole entire crowd up dancing. Yeah. So that's our job.
Yeah, you know? So the real thing is, if if your budget is small, like 500 quid or that, you're probably more likely to book a DJ, right? Mm. A good DJ for 500 quid. Rather than a band for 500 quid. But then if you do buy a band, you've got to know what you're going to get with that.
Mm, you know? Exactly.
The level is going to be different if you spend a lot more money on five people at 1500 quid than £500.
As you learn anything, you get what you pay for, generally.
100%. Yeah. It's just knowing that and it's being aware.
Clients, a lot of them, I don't know if it's a good or bad thing, but they don't really know the difference of quality. Like, if my dad, for instance, would come and watch us play and be like, oh yeah, they're really good. But then he'd go down a pub and watch a band play like we did in France, where it's just a guitar and a bass and two singers, and they're not professional at all, but they're singing songs that my dad recognises.
He loves it.
He loves it. He's singing along, and he's like, "Oh, this is amazing! How much do you charge tonight?" "Oh, we charge £200." "Well, hang on a minute. Why do you charge 1500?" And it's like, that's another thing. You gotta understand. Like, people don't understand. Yeah. They just think, "Oh, I'm happy and I'm dancing along to music." They don't understand why it's better.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if it's our job or that's why you make promos and that's why. You,
It's all the money that goes into it, isn't it? Like, well, someone who's playing down the pub like that, for example, is that like they've probably got a job outside of it, which is their income and pays for everything, and then they enjoy music so much.
And they get to know these people.
People think about us.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I'm saying. I think people equate that mindset to that the band in a corner of a pub that are doing it for the fun of it. It's like, that's great and fair play to them. I don't have I don't want it to come across as if I've got an issue with these bands, like, oh, they're making us, you know, harder
for
us.
It's just a different thing.
If people want to go and play music because they love that, and that's
their hobby, that's amazing. Someone wants to go and do plumbing because he loves it. Fair play to them.
You've got to realise that, if someone's doing it for their job, especially if you're bringing in a wedding venue, talking about a five-piece band with drum kits, and you've got guitars and keyboards that are costing thousands of pounds, you've got all the PA system that needs to be factored in, all of the lighting, and then you've got the amount of travel that will be all these five people have,
and maybe even accommodation and stuff
if it's really far away from the base. So you know, that's got to be factored in as well as just, you know, how good are they.
I saw a quote the other day and it was like, you're not paying me for half an hour, you're paying me for the hours I put in to make myself be able to do that job in half an hour.
Exactly,
so you're paying me for all the hours I've put in before. That's why I can do what I can do.
Yeah, that comes again to quality. You're paying me for the quality that I am.
Yeah.
Really. If you've put in the hours of hard work and years and years and years, you've made yourself a certain quality. Whereas the other people, again, who are doing it more for fun and pleasure, who maybe don't have as many hours under the belt and aren't pursuing a professional career, their quality is lower. But like you said, it's like the point of view from the person watching it, you know?
Yeah.
But then again, if you enjoy the duo who are 200 quid and they're doing it for fun,
absolutely, then go for it.
If you're looking for something real special and you want to put the money into it, and you want to, you know, most people who are booking the weddings and stuff, you want something that special day, and that's the end thing. That's the last thing you get to do, except for the honeymoon. But, you know, it's the like fireworks at the end of the night type thing, you know.
So, got a minute left.
Yeah. So there we go. There we have it. That's pretty much it.
You're a good party band.
That's why we're doing it.
At Penthouse 5 band.
Just do look, you'll see the difference in quality.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's bands out there doing above and beyond what we're doing. So, you know, there's always a level to reach.
Keep on reaching.
We're going to get to that level.
Anyway, we better wrap things up. Thanks for watching. If you're on YouTube, thank you for watching. If you're on the podcast, Apple, or you know, wherever, Spotify, thanks for listening. We are always making content. And you guys got anything else to add? Are we good?
No.
Keep your eyes open.
Yeah, keep your eyes open on the road.
See you next time.
I'll show you.
Keep your eyes and ears open.
You meant on our social media, Penthouse 5 Band. Peace.
See ya.
Ew.